You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Monday morning to you. The last Monday of July. Into August, man, on the backside of the summer. So good morning and welcome to All Marine Radio. Three more Marines arrested over the weekend. Out of the 1st Marine Division. For smuggling. So we'll talk about that. President being charged with being racist yet again. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Check the news of the day. Britain had something to say about their tanker that's being their tankers that are being held by Iran for no apparent reason other than to create a shit disturbance in the region. So you have that going on. Big weekend for the McNamara family. Yeah, my son Patrick was out for the weekend. Had an awesome time with him. And so we had of the six of us, and that includes my ex, the five of the six in one spot at one time. That's pretty good. So we had a good time. Went to a baseball game, went and saw the California Angels play the Baltimore Orioles on Saturday. And with one of his friends, it was a platoon commander, now he's a company commander down at School of Infantry. Eric Sobolski came up, and Patrick was really lucky, and the guys he worked with were great guys. He had the luck of, he had good luck, because the guys he was lieutenants with were all good dudes. Went to the baseball game Saturday, family dinner last night, went down to the beach on, Friday night? Newport Beach. Played volleyball a little bit. Yeah, that was pretty funny. And went out to dinner and stuff like that. So, very cool week. My number two son, number one in your heart, come home and hung out for a few days. So, I'm a big fan of that working from home stuff. Fly out overnight, get on your computer, go to work from wherever the hell you want to. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Who knew? Who knew you could do stuff like that? So, there you have it. There you have it. So, my weekend. And then, but a little bit of work over the weekend. And yeah. I've already got a couple emails about the president. The whole racist card thing to me, and I've talked about this relative to the Charlottesville thing, about what he said and what the truth was. And so, to me, the go back home thing, right? Now, what is the word? Hold on, I'm thinking of. The word I'm thinking of is xenophobic, right? Having a dislike or showing prejudice against people from other countries. That's what the president sounds like with that go back to where you came from thing. And that's being a bigot. Okay, not essentially being a racist, because it may not be race-based. It might not, it just might be, you're not from here, go home. So, as I said when he said it, I don't care for that stuff. But, to me, the problem I have, even with Donald Trump's, you know, what I would call reckless behavior at times and the way it's evaluated, there seems to be two sets of rules. You can say things. Right? You can say things, you can say things about him, and they can be vile. And you don't get taken to task. I mean, hell, the media is happy to cover it and happy to spread it. It would seem to me, that Representative Tlaib, is that her name? From Michigan? I mean, she called him a motherfucker. I think the night she was elected. Was there a hue and cry across the land because of that? The answer to that is no. So to me, there's a double standard. Now, you can, is a double standard on race? It seems to be part of it. Race seems to be part of it. And again, if you listen to this program, one of the things we talk about is how clickbait has to be a component of your website, of your news site, if you're going to make it in the newstainment business, right? Look at the number of stories that Fox News puts out about pop culture and things that aren't really hard news. Why would a news organization concern itself with stuff like that? Well, for one reason. I mean, for numbers. Right? Liz Hurley's latest bikini photo? Why would any news organization concern itself with that? Well, that is the other side of journalism. So, to me, the thing that's bothersome when all this stuff starts, did the president say anything about Elijah Cummings' race? About him being black? And the answer is no. To me, as I watch this, what happens is Elijah Cummings gets into the president in a big way, right? In a huge way. And then the president fires back. And then he gets accused of a racist attack on somebody. So again, I'm not a Holocaust denier. I'm not a 9/11 denier, right? And I'm not a racist denier. But to me, if you don't see the double standard that gets applied to the president, then I don't think you're paying attention. Now, having said that, to go back to where you came from stuff is, for me, xenophobic. We tend not to be like that in this country. And so to me, that was bullshit. And I certainly wouldn't defend that statement. So, but the racist thing to me The racist thing to me is not something, I see this double standard, and I take it all the way back to Charlottesville when I didn't understand what was going on there. And then the more I read, the more I came to the conclusion that this was much of what happened. There was a choreographed event on the part of largely two groups, and although Ohio Man tells me there was a third group there, that was bent on violence. And so you had legitimate protesters on both sides of that issue. One, don't whitewash your history. Two, take those statues down. Okay, I get both those points of view. So they're peacefully protesting. Inside that are, you know, alt-right people and Antifa people, and we've seen them both in action. And so when the president says there were good people there on both sides, and then he's roundly condemned for being a racist and emboldening that his comments were just as applicable to Antifa, but alt-right people, legitimizing them. But there was no mention of legitimizing Antifa people. It was just the alt-right. So to me, right, you get your X-Acto knife out and you crop the comment and then you project it against a certain population. You say, therefore he's racist. Well, that's bullshit. That's a lie. Now, when the president made that comment, might he have qualified his comment saying, based on what I know, this is who showed up at that thing? And laid that out better? I think if he laid that out better, then he probably would not have been accused. From what, you know, if and when he had this information. That's why probably in the early phases of something like that, what you ought to say is, you know, the events down there are terrible. And we're monitoring the situation. I'll have more to say when we have more information. Keep the family in your thoughts and prayers. And then as you say, okay, explain to me what I'm seeing here. And somebody walks in and says, all right, there was essentially four groups there. Okay, and here's how we think you should articulate that. All right, I got it. A more complete thought, right, which hopefully helps the nation to understand it. Because I didn't. And so, but again, I think that what happens is, so is there anything racist about, and you know how the president works, what he's taught all politicians is if you don't answer it and then up your answer, you don't understand your own audience probably. Right? They want you to fight. His wants him to fight. And so I watch this and in my opinion, the race card does get played all the time against him. So, again, as long as it's the same standard on everybody, but again, AOC, she can call the detention facilities that are set up along our border concentration camps. She didn't get taken to the whipping post by the media. You know, she didn't. All she does is get more media time. All you see is more of her on the news. Because it's good theater, right? So the truth be damned, it's good theater. So put her ass on there. But she doesn't pay a price for it. I mean, the other one from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, I think that's her name, right? Her comments about 9/11. Somebody did something. Like, are you kidding me? But again, I mean, she's not. I mean, even when they censured her for saying it, they watered down the censure, condemning all, not her, all, and blah, 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 blah. So, again, the same issues that I have problems with on this program on a daily basis relative to politics, to me, are present here. What matters is what side you're on. It doesn't matter the truth. It doesn't matter that a standard be applied across the board. None of that matters. It matters if you like him or hate him. If you hate him, then this is true. If you don't hate him, right, then it's largely a lie. And I just never kind of gone through life looking like that. I have always tried to use the brain that God gave me and hopefully use that in a way that he would look at me and say, you know what, McNamara, you didn't get a whole lot right, but, you know, at least you were trying to figure it out. And so to me, standards are important and they need to be applied evenly and across the board. And if by saying Baltimore is a shithole, which is a statement that you could defend in public, I'm sorry if you're from Baltimore, but it is, attacking his public record, that's a racist event? It's not. It's not. But he's accused of it all the time. So to me, it's part of a Democratic strategy that when he attacks somebody of color, right, that comment is not far from coming out on a talk show. Do you think there's an element of race to this? Well, you know, we all know the president's a racist, and that's where it goes. So anyway, I just, again, standards are important, and I think trying to have a clear eye about a lot of this, but I don't know. But certainly that's not the way the media plays it. You know, I have a bit of an op-ed in my head. Yeah, it's a little bit of a lyric to a song. I got an op-ed in my head. And the op-ed is about Marines and immigration smuggling. And leadership and lack and discipline in the Marine Corps. Yeah. To me, it's all connected. Now there's 21 Marines that are currently incarcerated on charges of smuggling. There was two originally that were arrested. Their arrest and the subsequent investigation led to the arrest of 16 additional Marines that happened out of their formation at 1st Battalion, 5th Marines last week. Then, subsequent to that, three more Marines have been arrested, and there'll be more Marines as you know, continue the investigation, go through cell phone messages and whatnot. More people will be implicated, and this thing will continue. Of those 21 Marines, none of them came into the Marine Corps to be smugglers, to be part of immigration smuggling ring. None of them. They joined the United States Marine Corps because they wanted to be United States Marines. They wanted something more difficult in their life. They wanted something better in their life. And what they found was unengaged leaders. What they tend to find is a culture that says, yeah, the change doesn't really need to be forever because you could come here and do what you want to do. And when you have leaders that are afraid to lead for whatever reason, and a friend of mine, Jeff Kenney, wrote me over the weekend saying that this whole notion of we're discussing how does it work when you don't have a company formation? Okay, so your Marines aren't scrutinized by the most senior Marines in the company. The most senior enlisted Marines aren't looking at the junior Marines. They don't see them. When you have one or two company formations a week, that's the only time your senior enlisted leadership looks at the Marines of your company. And you contrast that to the way we used to do it, which was you're going to have three formations a day. And those Marines are constantly looked at, and those junior leaders are constantly scrutinized. And so how do you get there? That's how you get there. And then a byproduct of that, the change isn't forever, you can do what you want, is then backsliding into the same behaviors, you know, the easy way out, I can do what I want, this is all bullshit, you know, world. That people of any age that aren't driven personally themselves, and there's a lot of people that aren't, fall into. And so I would tell you, after watching this, you know, this stuff for a long time, I would tell you that the Marine Corps has a huge problem on its hands relative to leadership. And the Marine Corps needs to figure it out. And Jeff Kenney's point about command climate surveys, if you have a command climate survey and people say stuff that they don't like, what difference does that make? The inmates don't run the asylum. Is that going to get you relieved? Well, I guess if there's certain things in there, there's certain, as General Mattis said, there's certain third rails in there, it should give you relief. But other than that, it's a data point, right? It's for your benefit to read what they have to say. So it's not leadership by popular mandate, right? Shit flows downstream in the Marine Corps. There's leaders. And those that are led don't get a say. That's not what those things were used for. Now, if the world is upside down and just right about that, that you'll be relieved and people are afraid so they don't do the harder stuff, then that's part of what I'm talking about. And again, General Furness, he tied into it. And we all saw the backlash of that culture as it heard that it wasn't discipline and it wasn't having it. But the truth is, it's not discipline. And so to me, you know, the Marines United thing, the active duty guys that participated in that, that's because the change doesn't have to be forever. And somehow or other, Marine Corps has got to address that. And they've got to address it in a way other than saying the change is forever. That's not what I'm talking about. You've got to live that kind of a life on a daily basis. And you can't live it when you're not exposed to leaders that have been in this thing for more than 3 years, more than 5 years. You got to be exposed to those. They've got to be the guy the men and women that you collide with on a regular basis. That's how it works. That's what makes it work. Not novices supervising novices. That's how it gets fucked up. So, So that's the op-ed I have in my head. That this is, you know, when things like this happen, you can go through that system and you can say, because of this, because of this, because of this, these people who joined with this intention, right, began to stray from the beaten path. And then I will tell you this, I have friends, this is kind of interesting about my life. And I've said this on the program before. I had a pretty simple life. I went to Catholic schools. So the same rules that corporal punishment Kathleen had when I was a kid applied when I went to school. Because the nuns had the same, you know, there was an expectation that I would conduct myself, you know, in an appropriate manner, that I would be respectful of other kids, and that I would achieve academically. After school, when I played sports, my coaches, right, they were all veterans. They didn't take any shit from us. So, you know, you went there, right, and you know, the same rules applied. And then I went home. And, you know, I played with my friends. I met kids as I grew up that when they left the house, the rules that were in their house, they didn't apply at school. They didn't go to my school. They went to public schools. And they could do kind of sort of more of what they wanted to. And they did. And what they figured out was, yeah, the rules don't apply everywhere. I didn't figure that out as a kid until, I mean, then I went to an all-boys Catholic school. So, I mean, the rules always applied to me. The rules never did not apply to me. And I think that's an important thing. When a kid gets in his head, oh, really? I don't have to do what they say because they're not around and these people don't enforce them. Well, fuck that then. I'm doing what I want. And I think that's how kids get screwed up. That the rules you have in your home, they go to school. They don't apply there. I can say what I want. I can do what I want here. They don't apply to me. And I've held that belief for a long time because I saw it. I saw good kids all of a sudden, like, how does that kid get so screwed up? Well, maybe that kid wasn't the strongest kid, and maybe that kid was susceptible to peer pressure, and he came from a good family, but he fell in with some bad friends, and then he realized he didn't have to do what his mom and dad said once he got out of the house, because nobody would snitch on him, and the school didn't have the same value system. And then he went off the beaten path. So, again, to me, it's not a small deal. And you've seen this happen in the Navy in big ways that led to people dying, 17 sailors dying on ships that were so poorly crewed at sea, so poorly led at sea, that they drove in front of other ships. That's what happened. You see it play out painfully for the Naval Special Warfare Group, right? Their glamour name is SEALs. But that is an organization in incredible crisis. And this stuff has gone on for years, and it's been swept under the rug for years. That organization is rotting from the inside out. And that platoon that got sent home, they didn't get sent home for drinking. That would have been handled in theater. What they got sent home for was drinking. Allegedly, a rape took place. And every one of them choosing not to speak to investigators. So rather than say what they know about the truth, they all did what happened in the Gallagher trial. Don't stray, right? Stick to the lie and we'll get through this. And that was the lesson. That's a rotten system. And so, you'll see more of that. So, the Marine Corps has work to do. And it starts with discipline. It starts with leaders. And we've got to figure out, or the Marine Corps, not we, they've got to figure out how this all works. Because if it is a popularity, if it is a popularity contest, if they do own the barracks, if you only have platoon formations, that is a fucking recipe for a shit show. And that's what the Marine Corps will become, a shit show. And there's units that are well on their way. One of my sons was in one. And the stories that he tells are a joke. Or an absolute positive fucking joke. And I feel bad for him. Because he heard the Marine Corps and the guys that I've met in my career and whatnot. You know, and his experience wasn't that way. His experience wasn't that way. But anyway. All right, that's the op-ed I have in my head. So I'm not sure how that will manifest itself, but at some point it probably will. It might manifest itself here on a daily basis. All right, the United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Dedicated to General Berger. Hope you figure it out, sir, because the Marine Corps, leaders in the Marine Corps, again, it's not the Marines. Marines are blank canvas. They're like children. They will be what you make them, what you fashion, the standards you have, the consistency you have, the love that you bring, right? The intensity that you bring is what grows children, right? The structure that you give them, they don't grow up to be the way they are by accident. So, the kid at Jerome Berger. Good luck in figuring it out.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
time to check the weather. Sunny and 87 in Quantico. It is mostly sunny and 86 at Camp Lejeune. East Coast, warm. 29 Palms, probably the warmest I've seen it this year. Sunny and 94 right now. Oddly enough, though, the temperature on the coast has gone down. So, I don't know. Sometimes 29 Palms gets this, like, humidity thing that comes up from Mexico in the summer. And it sucks, man. Because the weather that they're having didn't come from, right? It's not coming from the coast. Because the coast has cooled off a little bit. As you will see. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. On Friday at this time, it was mostly sunny and 72. It's cloudy and 65, which is pretty normal. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy and 78. Camp Hansen in Okinawa, dark, cloudy and 83. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 106 in the Al-Anbar province. I'm sorry. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is a standard clear, dark, and 99. That's right. And at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, it is cloudy and 68. It was warm over the weekend. Looking for a high today of 80, high tomorrow of 80, and high Wednesday of 81. We'll take that. We'll take that. Nothing higher, though. Nothing higher. That's the lovely saxophone of Junior Walker and the All-Stars. And the song is called What Does It Take to Win Your Love for Me? All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines here on a Monday edition. I think Alex is supposed to join me. But I sent him a message, and he didn't answer. Yeah, man, I shot you an email a bit ago. I didn't see it. Okay, all right, so Alex Holling's going to join us here in about 25 minutes. So he's always fun and interesting, so we'll talk about, I'll ask him, get his thoughts about the whole racism thing. Alex, a little bit younger than I am, and we'll see what he has. But you know what? He's got one of the things I've grown to enjoy about him. He's got a great eye for double standards and things like that. So we'll talk to him. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
Peyton Davis on a Monday. Peyton, she told me, right, she's staying at F-18 man's house because that's her aunt and uncle. And somehow while she was sleeping, she bashed her head on the wooden headboard or the frame. Yeah. She said she wasn't right for a number of days. Flew home on Sunday. So, hope you feel better, pumpkin. Alright, as is often the case on a Monday, slow news weekend, right? The B-team works over the weekend. Top headline in Stars and Stripes. Withdrawal from International Mail Treaty, M-A-I-L Treaty, could, because we don't tend to have gender-based international treaties, at least to my knowledge, could alter delivery of APO TAC FPO addresses. That's Army Post Office, I believe, and Fleet Post Office, so Army and Navy systems for delivering the mail. So anyway, so that's in the news. probably the most interesting story in Stars and Stripes is a 26-year-old billionaire is building virtual border walls and the federal government is buying. Like, invisible walls with technology means you have to have QRFs that will, right, that can go get people that violate them. So, anyway, on Friday afternoon in late July, a crowd of techies, military types, and a few civilians deployed to the new Irvine, California headquarters of Anduril Industries, a defense tech startup, to sip hibiscus margaritas and admire the sensor towers and carbon fiber drones on display. Dave Brubeck tinkled over the sound system. Tinkled? Anyway, Dave Brubeck played, music played. The dress code skewed from office casual and pastel, offset by the bright red pop of a lone Make America Great Again hat at the taco bar. After an hour of socializing and surveilling equipment, Palmer Luckey, the company's 26-year-old near-billionaire founder, mounted the stage for a ribbon cutting. Luckey had wanted to use the company's namesake sword, a legendary weapon in The Lord of the Rings, wielded by the hero Aragorn, whoever that is. You Lord of the Rings people can correct me on the pronunciation, I'm sure. For the ceremony, a replica of the movie prop hangs on the wall of his office, dramatically underlit with a purple bulb. But Luckey had just gotten back from his honeymoon and hadn't had time to sharpen it. Armed instead with large scissors, he cut the ribbon. Then he quoted Tolkien to the audience. Along remote stretches of the U.S.-Mexican border and on the perimeters of the military bases around the world, Luckey's vision has already become reality. Customs and Border Patrol is using Anduril's high-tech surveillance network as a virtual wall of interlinked solar power sentry towers that can alert agents of suspicious activity, and the company has signed similar deals with U.S. and U.K. military branches. Whether those kind of missions represent the best of Western values is a debate preoccupying the biggest companies in Silicon Valley. At leading software firms such as Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and Salesforce, employees are loudly condemning their company's involvement in military research. The controversy has reached online furniture retailer Wayfair, where employees staged a walkout to protest the sale of beds to border camps. Luckey, who has emerged as one of the tech industry's most outspokenly right-wing figures, has welcomed the battle. Under his banner, his company is a venture capital-backed startup and has proudly joined the ranks of military-industrial complex. So they talk about his ideology, and I'm not so much interested in his ideology. I'm more interested in his technology. Anduril's core product is its Lattice software system, which takes in data from any number of sensors, cameras, scanners, satellite imagery, then uses machine learning to make it legible to human operators. With enough training, the system can, the company claims, learn the difference between a distant cluster of cattle roaming into view and a caravan of vehicles and alert the user. Only a Border Patrol agent or a Marine on watch for possible base intruders. Wait, or they can alert one of those people. Only when a potential risk crops up. So the artificial intelligence can differentiate between that stuff and not wake people up at all hours of the night. It can say, hey, this was a herd of cattle. This was at Camp Pendleton. This is your buffalo. Yada, yada, yada. Once alerted, a Lattice user can strap on a pair of virtual readiness goggles and get a bird's eye view of what triggered the alarm, or toggle between the individual streams coming from each sensor. The goal is to give users a kind of local omnipresence, perfect situational awareness of what's around every corner and behind each hill. Now, we had a thing called G-Boss towers. Now, this looks like more than this because the G-Boss towers were simply cameras, and those cameras could see out to 12 clicks, 12 kilometers. Some of them, pretty powerful stuff. And you would set them on places that you needed, and then, but you had to have an operator. There was no artificial intelligence. So the difference is they've taken things like that, introduced other technologies such as drones, such as ground sensors, into it to form this virtual wall. The company is also manufacturing its own towers and autonomous drones to feed into Lattice, and contracted with former Mythbusters host Jamie Heineman to build a firefighting tank prototype as a first step towards using Endural systems to combat wildfires in the future. How about that? So, that probably the most interesting story in Stars and Stripes today. In USNI News. Give you a few headlines from them. They do a thing called, they have a fleet tracker. Who's where? Where the Ronald Reagan carrier strike group is, where the Truman is. Truman's off the coast South Carolina. The USS Bataan is off the coast of, looks like, New Jersey. The Roosevelt's off the coast of San Diego. The WASP, Expeditionary Strike Group, is in Australia, Brisbane to be exact. The Lincoln is south of the Iranian southern coast, and the Boxer is in Bahrain. So there you have it. There's your update. If you want to know who's where, there you have it. Yeah, they put the every week they do this, so it's kind of interesting. The Senate confirms General Milley for the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And again, Monday, slow news day, especially during the summer. Congress in recess, and people going out of town. Top stories in Marine Corps Times today. The new Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps is not promising you a rose garden. Now, there's and in the story, if you click on the story, there's a recruiting poster that was popular that you would see when I was first joined the Marine Corps. And I have to make it up like it was made up when I saw it. The one I remember seeing is some graphic artist, and we didn't have graphic artists back then, right? You had to be somebody who had some kind of skills and access to some kind of program. But somebody had taken this poster and kind of bastardized it. So for those of you that are old enough to remember, and a lot of you have seen it, it says, "We don't promise you a rose garden." And it has a drill instructor, right, with his eyes bulging out of his head, his campaign cover on, and looking at a recruit. And the one I saw had the same font, and it said, "We don't promise you shit." And it was a poster that was up in a company office. So he's talking about that. He's talking about that. So it'll be interesting to see what changes. And again, I think the Marine Corps has a leadership crisis on its hands. And it's manifested itself in discipline and some way, shape, or form, right? In some way, shape, or form, the Marine Corps has to address this. And it's not the Marines, right? You heard my op-ed earlier. If you didn't, you can hear it here in a little bit. There's another SEAL story in the news. Sexting and salacious snapshots. Inside SEAL Team 6 spoofing scandal. So this is a story that broke last week. And if you, Jeff Zulowicz's name is on this. So Jeff is very respected reporter. An ongoing Navy probe. This is SEAL Team 6, right? This is the rarefied air of SEAL Team 6. An ongoing Navy probe to catch the culprit who catfished women into sending nude photos shines a light on the normally shadowy world of SEAL Team 6, one of America's most secretive commando units. But the suspected sailor says they got the wrong man, and he worries the brass are breaking the law to put him behind bars, while the real culprit who spoofed the SEAL goes free. An explosives expert lauded for taking out terrorist supply routes and safe houses in internal SEAL records provided to Navy Times. Special Warfare Operator First Class Aaron Howard faces a court-martial trial for allegedly posing as a pair of people who wooed three women through text messages into sending racy images of themselves in 2017. The victims are an aircrew survival equipment man, second class, and two civilians, military prosecutors say. A member of the Virginia-based SEAL Team 6 since 2014 and its Sailor of the Year 2 years later, the highly decorated Howard's medals include the Bronze Star with a V. During one of dozens of raids, he risked his life. The article goes on, the sexy snapshot scandal is the latest embarrassment to the SEALs. The elite special operators once lauded as silent professionals. But on Wednesday, Special Operations Command announced military leaders had booted from Iraq a Coronado-based SEAL Team 7. We've talked about that. I'm just wondering if there's more to the current story. And this kind of diverges into the broader leadership challenges that the SEALs face. So, anyway, another story. And let me tell you, look, if they keep flipping rocks, they'll keep finding this stuff. Because they have not played by the rules for a long time. And, again, and somebody sent me an email last week. I heard you say, when talking about the SEALs, why doesn't Delta Force have these same issues? Good question, Mac. Because what you're seeing is not simply little blips. If you connect these dots, there sure as hell is a trend in the SEAL community. Well, again, those of us who've been around, we know this. And, you know, everybody just shrugged because nobody has held them accountable. Nobody has held them accountable. Dan Coats, the Director of National Intelligence, is resigning. The question is why? Why? The president announced that he will depart on August 15th. So why is Dan Coats resigning? After 2 years in which Coats and the president were often at odds over Russian interference over the 2016 election, Coats often appeared out of step with Trump and disclosed to prosecutors how he was urged by the president to publicly deny any link between Russia and the Trump campaign. The frayed relationship reflected broader divisions between the president and the government's intelligence agencies. Coates' public and, this is an Associated Press story, by the way, and sometimes personal disagreements with Trump over policy and intelligence, including Russian election interference and North Korean nuclear capabilities. Trump had long been skeptical of the nation's intelligence agencies, which provoked his ire by concluding that Russia interfered in the 2016 presidential election with the goal of getting him elected. A former Republican senator from Indiana, Coates was appointed in March of 2017. His departure has been rumored for months, and intelligence officials had been expecting him to leave before the 2020 presidential campaign season reached its peak. So, now, again, the concern with the president is he brought on, much to his credit, when his administration began, very credible people, lots of which you've heard about on this program. John Kelly, Jim Mattis, Joe Dunford, people that I know personally and have served with. And as I've told people, you can tell them to lie and put a gun to their head, and they'll look at you and say, go ahead and pull the trigger. I will not do that. And so the question would be, when President Trump fancies himself of that ilk, I dare say he's not, right? Although he is the elected president of the United States. So what happens when men like that don't see eye to eye with them and won't do the chicken dance in public? Yeah, you get put on Fantasy Island. And then what do you have remaining? You have bobbleheads. So that is a legitimate concern as the to me, the respected leaders have left the Trump administration, right? And you're dealing with this second team people. Okay? Second team, will they bend to the president? The whole thing, speak truth to power. Everybody says that. Not everybody does it. So it's a concern. Dan Coats, every time I've seen him, he's acquitted himself as a dedicated public servant who tells the truth. And he doesn't play politics with the game of intelligence in terms of the way James Comey played politics with the FBI. He doesn't play that game. Doesn't play that game. So it's not a good thing for the country. Dan Coats is leaving. Alright, top stories in Early Bird, and then, we'll take a quick break, we'll get Hollings on, and we will continue this program on a Monday. Top story number one, aircraft mission capable rates hit new low in the Air Force, despite efforts to improve. The Air Force's aging fleet of airframes dropped below 70% in readiness, its lowest point in at least 6 years. Second story, Special Operation Command. Bulk of war casualties may be operators, but soft readiness is at an all-time high. Good to know. Good to know. Number three, sexting salacious snapshots inside SEAL Team 6's spoofing scandal. Number four, we talked about that. Number four, Supreme Court. Trump can use Pentagon funds for the border wall. The Supreme Court cleared the way for the Trump administration to tap billions of dollars in Pentagon funds to build sections of the border wall in Mexico. Now, this did not receive a lot of attention over the weekend, okay? But this is a big story because one of the things the Democrats have been fighting is the president's ability to say, in spite of them, I've secured our southern border. Okay, the court's five conservative justices gave the administration a green light on Friday to begin work on four contracts it has awarded using Defense Department money. Funding for the project has been frozen by lower courts while a lawsuit over the money proceeded. The court's four liberal justices wouldn't have allowed the construction to start. The justices' decisions to lift the freeze on the money allows the president to make progress on a major 2016 campaign promise, which got the obligatory tweet, wow, ! Big victory, all caps, on the wall. The United States Supreme Court overturns lower court injunction, allows southern border wall to proceed. Big win for border security and the rule of law, ! So, anyway, that's going on. And again, it's not a small thing because he's trying to be able to stand up and say, look, these are things I promised you, these are things I did. So anyway, the president. And that whole issue of DOD money going down to the southern border. And a story that was huge last week, quote, this is from the New York Times, I have a moral responsibility to come forward. The colonel that accused what is supposed to be the Joint Chiefs of Staff vice chairman They did this in private last week. Okay, she testified, then he testified. His, again, he was investigated. Air Force could find no corroborating evidence of her allegation. So now she's gone public after the Senate Armed Service Committee said they would forward his nomination. So, so we'll see what happens. You don't see that very often. And so that is in the news. Some overseas operational headlines, and then we'll take a break. Japan's new island-defending Marines storm a beach with the United States and Australian troops. That's in military.com. Taliban reject talk of direct negotiations with the Afghan government. That's in the news. Turkey determined to destroy terror corridor in Syria despite talks with the U.S. to establish a safe zone. So again, Syria continuing to butt heads with the United States as it leaves NATO's orbit. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Holling will join us here on a Monday edition of Bob Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. He's fun and funny and interesting. More of that next here.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.